Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Tony Baselli and Jeff Loggeman. Sponsored by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
All right, welcome in Jaguars Thursday from the HananiahAutos.com studio. Brian Sexton with Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli. The Metro PCS call-in line, the same as it's been around here for a long time, 800-355-NFL1. Drop the 800 if you're local, 355-6351 dials you into these guys. Lots of playoffs to talk about, coaching openings. One of them was filled today. Thoughts on Jay Gruden going to the Washington Redskins?
Good luck. Have fun.
Bad job.
Two worst jobs in football.
Lifelong Redskins follower, and you think that's a bad job?
Yeah, it's the two worst jobs in the NFL are the Oakland Raiders and the Washington Redskins.
If Jack Kent Cook were still alive and the owner of the Washington Redskins, it would be one of the greatest jobs in the National Football League.
Yeah, to play there in Washington with those fans.
You know, you've got a general manager in place in Bruce Allen, an owner that always claims that, all right, I'm gonna back off. I'm not going to be involved like I was before, and then it always happens. It always happens, you know, and I just don't see them until he takes on a different role as owner, that team having success. And if you're the guy that goes into Washington, you know, is Dan Snyder going to have patience for you? Is that a good situation? Do they have draft picks like waiting in the wings to replenish that roster?
They have cap issues.
And they gave up the number two pick to St. Louis for RG3.
It's all not good. I mean, if you're a head coach, you want to go somewhere that gives you a chance, a best chance, the environment, the players.
Like Andy Reid
all
did this
has
year.
To be good. I mean, well, you wonder Andy Reid had the perfect job.
You wonder why he took the job, because he was being interviewed for several different jobs.
Money.
No, but my point is, I got to believe that another
Dan Snyder is.
You think Tony, he just paid Tony, him more money Tony, than anybody else?
Well, I mean, not just that. But do you remember when you were being recruited coming out of high school?
Oh, they could make you feel good.
And they made you feel so good.
They make you feel good.
I remember, you know, I remember my trip to Georgia Tech. You know, Bill Curry, you know, wearing his shades, talking to me in his office, and stayed at the Ritz-Carlton in downtown Atlanta. And I was going, and I knew before I was going on this trip that I was going to Virginia.
But you almost changed your mind.
I almost changed my mind.
It's the truth.
Because they just put the wow on you. And, you know, Dan Snyder pulls up to the tarmac in his plane that's got the burgundy and gold, and he's going to load you up and fly you to D.C., you know, show you all the sights, take you to find, you know, dinner at a restaurant. Yeah, it's recruiting, you know. It's human nature.
And we don't know. I mean, maybe he didn't really have strong possibilities with
anything. Yeah, maybe that was only his job.
So, I mean, that's – I get it, but I mean, to me, that's not a job that I'd like to have.
Well, and you have the quarterback issue that he's RG3. I mean, all the reports, the issue with him and the owner, meaning that they're too close. There's too much buddy-buddy there. Issues in the locker room.
No, the issues are with him.
Well, he's got to
grow up.
Because there, which then leads to the issues in the locker room and how he handles that relationship and handles the perks that he gets, and his dad's in the locker room, which I was around.
What's the best job in the league?
Which I was around at in Houston, where family gets too close to the young quarterback. That's a problem.
Do you mean the best job that's open right
now? Yes, the best job that's open. And I'm looking at the helmets.
Detroit.
I was going to say, from a talent perspective,
yeah,
I think
but
it's
is
Detroit.
It? Yeah. But is it? Because, well, I mean, you've got a general manager there.
Martin Mayhew.
I mean, this is it for him now.
Right.
I mean, the clock's ticking for him.
Right.
So, in reality, the clock would be ticking for you as well.
So a one-year deal, kind of like Mike Mularkey had here with Gene Smith.
I don't think
it's that short.
That's
but
not
it's
the
short.
The Ford family's patient.
I mean, this job cheap. Last year, you'd love to
call
have
what you want.
No, they paid Calvin Johnson. But that's what most people say about them, is that they held on
They're
to
patient.
Their front office because they didn't want to pay those guys to not work.
They're patient.
I don't. You know, when you look at it, I'm not a big Matt Stafford fan, but you got a young quarterback. You got Calvin Johnson. You know, they've got a couple of high picks on the offensive line, obviously with Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley and Ziggy Ansah. You got the makings of a dominant defensive line.
You got talent.
Yeah.
But I think the best job that was open is the one that Lovie grabbed in Tampa.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it about Tampa that's got
great
you?
Defensive talent?
Well, they've got
at the
talent.
Quarterback though.
Well,
still.
They've got questions, but they've got talent.
They have that.
And when Lovie got the job,
brand new,
he was selected before the general manager. So he's going to have some input, and he's going to have final say on the roster.
And the Glaziers hired him And don't forget, Levy was there.
He was there with Tony.
Tony.
And he went to St. Louis.
It was almost, if you read what the comments, what Glazer said, it was Levy coming home type of attitude. And so I agree with Jeff. That's a great situation. Number one, Lovie Smith's a very good coach. You have questions. The quarterback, though, is Glennon the guy? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big question. Now they have a ton of defensive talent. One of the best young linebackers in football, in Levante Davis. They have a good weapons outside. They have a very good running back. I can't even think of his name right now, but he was hurt for most of the season, but was close to rookie of the year. The year before.
Oh, what they call him?
Call him the
pocket. No. They call the.
Muscle hamster.
Yeah, that's it. Muscle hamster. Yeah.
Doug Martin.
Thank you. Good. Doug Martin. So they got a lot of talent on that team.
It's kind of interesting that they're going back now. Dungy left and they replaced him with Gruden, and then they replaced Gruden with Raheem Morris, who was on Dungy's staff as the secondary coach. And then they go back outside and they grab the guy.
Shiano.
Yeah, Shiano. And then now they go back to the Dungy tree to get Lovie. You know,
Lovie should never been fired in
Chicago. Dungy should never been fired.
No, never.
Neither of them should.
The first thing that Lovie needs to do when he gets there is to clear the building out and clean everything with bleach.
Oh, because of the MRSA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that's the head coach's job.
Well, I mean, if you're the head coach, that's the first thing I do.
My guess is they've already done that.
Yeah, they brought in a toxic.
They brought like a specialist.
I'd do it again.
Materials. Yeah. Well, see that. By the way, they thought they had it in Kansas City at one point late in the season too. You know, before I want to ask you about the Titans' job and the Vikings' job and the Browns' job, but real quick, speaking of cleaning things out, did you hear what Bill O'Brien did this week?
Took all the old pictures down.
Anything that spoke of the individual in Houston, he kind of was trying to instill the Patriot way, which is not a surprise. But they went through and cleaned out, took stuff down off the walls. Anything from the past, anything that had anything to do with individuals, gone, done.
It's too much.
Come on.
I think it's stupid, but whatever. I'll say this. As a player.
Ego?
As a player, that's not going to change how I play, how I prepare, how I approach. I mean, I think having some nice sayings or what your values are, what you believe, it's all about the ball or competition. I think those are fine. Those are good reminders. I mean, they're cues that remind you of what you believe and what the organization's about. But I do think you can go too far. I as a player, I don't think that matters. I mean, if there's pictures of past victories or past players, I mean, it doesn't mean anything.
No, you got to you respect the past. I think you embrace it.
I agree with that. I think history's good. I think good memories.
That's insecurity.
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
The first thing I thought, what is this guy? Why is he having to go in there and be the ultimate authoritarian?
If your message is your message is the right one, it doesn't matter about all that other stuff.
No, but the funny thing is, if he wins, some more coaches will do it. They'll say, oh, what a brilliant idea. It has nothing to do with it, but that's all the point.
All right, so back to a couple of these openings. We talked about the Lions opening. What about
another good job is, before you I'm going to jump you. I think the Browns is a good job.
Yeah, okay. But is it?
Yeah, I think they're very talented. They need a quarterback, but you have a high draft pick. You can draft that quarterback.
Wouldn't you be concerned? I mean, first of all, their owner and his company. Haslam.
No,
has it Flying J?
I think they're through that. They're through. Yeah, if you read the articles, they're through it. I read a big long article. They're through the trouble. They're paying the
still
fine.
Still got some lawsuits.
Yeah, but they're paying the fine. I mean, he's not a part of it. He's been pretty much clear. It was people underneath him.
But wouldn't you have concerns about a franchise that last year just hired a general manager and a head coach and then fired their head coach after 1 year?
Yeah, but they hired the coach.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with firing because I'm a big believer in it. If you realize you don't have the guy, then you make the change. But wouldn't that give you cause for concern walking in the door?
If I got my timeline right, Joe Banner, who was the president, hired Chudzinski first, and then he hired
Lombardi
afterward as the GM. Lombardi never liked Chudzinski, is the report I heard. So he was dead man walking.
So would that not give you a little concern?
No, because
there's
now
a lot of good communication between or the structure's not good with Banner and Lombardi.
No, I think I'd be fine with it because Lombardi's a Banner guy because Banner hired Lombardi as well. And so now whoever the next head coach is going to be hired by Banner and Lombardi. So it's going to be a more solid situation. They're a very talented team as far as a lot of the pieces. They do not have a quarterback.
They need help up in the front and defense a little bit. Not a lot,
but they're pretty dang talented. And so they're going to have a high draft pick. I think that's a great job. I think you have an owner. I mean, I got an opportunity to spend some time with him when we played up there, Jimmy Haslam. I mean, competitive guy, wants to win. He's going to spend the money. I mean, fired a coach who had a bunch of money left on his contract still because it was the right thing they thought to do to get to where they wanted to go.
Paid him off all that money from his other company.
Much like Sean did. I mean, he said, listen, we need to make a change. This is not where we want to go. I'm going to make the change now, no matter what it costs. So I like that. I mean, I think it's a good job. You got to find the quarterback.
They haven't done anything since they came back in 99. Nothing.
One playoff appearance.
And that was against Pittsburgh. And so for that perspective, you got a fan base that's hungry up there. We saw how empty those seats were. Mm-hmm. But that's a place if you could light it up. What about the Vikings' job? You know, now they're going to play outdoors the next 2 years, which is an interesting dynamic. While their stadium is being built, they're going to play at, what is it? It's not M&T Bank. It's a bank.
It's the University of Minnesota Stadium.
Nice stadium. It's a very nice facility. In fact, they played outdoors there. Fell in a few years ago. Yeah. So but you know what? Now they don't have a quarterback there either. But you know they have a lot of talent on that team.
Do they?
Yeah. You remember they got
where
on the defense.
Really?
It's old talent.
It's all old.
Yeah, but that's the issue with Minnesota. That's
one of the
old
oldest
talent.
Team, one of the oldest defenses in the league.
Yeah. Remember, they got the kid from Florida in the first round.
Williams, Jared Allen, bye.
Yeah, there is some long of tooth. You're not wrong in that, obviously.
You know, offensively, you got the left tackle from SC.
Good player. Right tackle's a good
AP,
player.
Adrian Peterson.
How many hits does he have left? Their offensive line's pretty good.
But Cordell Patterson was a big player for them on special teams this year, and they think he's going to be a starter out at wide.
You have no quarterback. You have an old defense.
Well, that's it.
I don't think it's a great job.
But you've got a brand-new stadium.
No quarterback and an old defense. It's a bad job.
Who's the general manager up there, Spielman?
Spielman.
And how good is he? I mean, as far as his situation, his security.
Oh, well, I can't imagine that last year we were in the playoffs, but they've been in the top three drafting now a couple times in the last 5 years.
So. And that's the question you would have to ask if you're a head coach looking at that job. But look, the reality of it is that there's only 32 of them.
Well,
yeah, I take it. Now, I mean, Minnesota's looking for a guy who's had no coaching experience except for high school offensive line. I'd be more than happy to take that job right now.
All right, so that brings us to the final the final opening, and it's one you guys know well. What about the Titans in Nashville?
Oh boy!
The biggest question you gotta try to find the answer to, and I don't know if you could answer it. How is Tommy Smith, the new owner, gonna be? You don't know. I mean, there's no track record to judge him on.
And the other question I'm asking, if I'm being interviewed for that job, how tied are you to Jake Locker being your quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's got 1 year left.
Well, I mean, but if you're tied to him this year, I don't want the job.
But you know what that job's going to be? That's probably going to be the same type of situation that was here last year.
Well, you remember last year, and you're totally right, Jeff.
As far as how it relates to quarterback.
Absolutely.
Not a bad job then.
The difference last year is the Jaguars they announced, we're going into steep rebuilding here, be patient. And what did they spend, like $90 million on free agents? They signed 16, 18.
Tennessee did.
Yeah, Tennessee did. I mean, they doubled down on Jake Locker with Mike Munchak last year. And then now they're a year behind the Jaguars, in a sense, because a lot of those guys either didn't perform or were older guys. And now if Locker's not the guy, they've got to go into rebuilding. It's going to be an interesting situation in Tennessee.
Where's the young talent on Tennessee's roster?
That wide receiver's pretty good.
I mean, Casey's really good.
I mean, does he scare you?
Jarrell Casey?
No.
He does.
No, the wide receiver.
Justin Hunter?
Huh?
Justin Hunter's who you're talking about?
No, the wide receiver, the first round pick.
Oh, Kendall Wright.
Kendall Wright. Yeah. He doesn't scare me.
No, but Wright and Hunter are two nice. I mean, let me ask you a question. Wright and Hunter, Cecil and Justin.
But no, you know what? Neither one of them are as good as what Justin was. And
you don't have a quarterback, and they're not very good on
defense. They force-fed Kendall Wright.
Kendall Wright's pretty good, Jeff.
Forced him. Force-fed.
What did they do to Justin? I mean, they forced it to Justin. They forced it to Justin. They had no one else.
But his ability to make something happen after the catch is so much better than Kendall Wright's.
Kendall Wright's faster.
To me, that's not even – those two aren't even in
But my point is, those are two nice – I mean, I, it's a compliment to Justin and Cecil. I think they're both nice sets of receivers, is my point.
They're okay. They're okay.
So you're saying Justin and Cecil are just okay?
No. I'm saying is that those guys in Tennessee are okay. Justin Blackmon and Cecil Shorts, to me, have way more upside. Justin Blackmon. Cecil solid. But I'm not a big fan of those guys in Tennessee.
All right, well then let's rank them here before we take a break. So the best job out there, the Lions?
I think so.
All right, if not the Lions, which of the four?
Yeah. I got Lions. Then I got Cleveland second.
I'd probably put Cleveland first just because of a lot of young talent, the cap room, the draft picks they've got.
A lot of cap room.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a little – and plus it's in Cleveland. I mean, holy – if you win in Cleveland, you would be a hero. A hero. Not that, you know, the ego would come into that decision-making process. But, I mean, what if you do
take
that
team – You said the magic words, though. It's the cap room that comes with the young talent that's already there.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Lions, who've already – they've got big contracts on a couple of those guys already.
But listen, the Lions are young, guys. Sue's young. Fairley's young. Megatron's 28. That's young still. Stafford's young.
That's a good job.
You have young offensive.
I was the one that said I thought it was the best
Ziggy
job out there.
You have Ziggy Ansah, who's a second-year player young.
You need to go with Fairley and Sue.
I mean, come on. They're young, too.
Good tight end.
I mean, they're good.
Right. Yeah, that would be hard to argue that you're not right. Detroit, Cleveland.
Yeah, that's where I go. Listen, they're obviously not.
I've never heard that before, by the way. You need to have that for a
program. That I'm right.
Yeah, I'd be hard to argue with you. You're not right. You're not going to hear that very often.
Trust me. Put that
in a promo.
I paused for a second.
All right, folks, you can go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today, a proud partner of the Jaguars. Ford, go further. We are back with more of Jaguars Thursday from the HannityAutos.com studio after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, welcome back. Tony Buscelli, Jeff Lagerman are here for Jaguars Thursday. And it's brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Something on your mind in particular? Or were you just holding the water bottle up?
I was just toasting to Joe.
Okay. So, you know, we spent some time talking about the Indianapolis-Kansas City game. And you mentioned that the game that you were at last weekend was not all that inspiring.
No.
What'd you think of the Saints?
That was fun to watch.
I was on a Cub Scout camp out. I didn't see that
game. Oh, great.
My I was watching the first really game on game. My bat on my game. Phone, but the battery ran out.
I give
Rob Ryan,
that's what I was gonna say, a ton of credit because he held that potent Philadelphia offense under 300 yards.
Well, and most importantly, LeSean McCoy. Remember when I was kind of wavering? You know, after watching the Eagles in their last couple games, particularly the last one, to where LeSean McCoy is a special player. I mean, arguably the best back in football as far as being able to run and catch and do everything. And in that offense, he's just so hard to stop. I thought that they may have a hard time. New Orleans Saints did a great job.
Played great.
Did a great job and against a hot quarterback. I mean, that quarterback in Philadelphia now, Nick Foles, was on a roll.
Third highest quarterback rating in the history
NFL
of the NFL
history
for a year.
I was impressed, you know. And Drew Brees was good, but he wasn't unbelievable, you know. Rob Ryan and his crew on defense, which hey, the reality of it is that they've got some talent on defense, but they don't have a ton of talent. Jerry Jones screwed up.
Oh gosh, terrible. And listen, you look at that Philly Saints game, Eagle Saints game. Drew Brees threw two picks in the first half. I mean, he was not playing well. The first one was just terrible. And that Rob Ryan Saints defense, I mean, Rob Ryan kept him in it. He kept him in the game. It could have got ugly, could have got out of hand with the two turnovers, given extra possessions to the Eagles. They're at home, it's cold, and they hung in there.
So, Wild Card Weekend was an outrageous success.
Oh,
the ratings
huge.
Were through the roof. You had three games that went into the final minute, two that were on field goals as time expired, and now the league's talking about adding.
Well, before you get to that, Justin Smith wore sleeves.
Did he really?
He wore sleeves for that game in Green Bay.
I was in the airport, so it was hard to see.
We talked about it. We said, we bet he's not going to be wearing sleeves. He had sleeves on.
Did anyone go sleeveless?
Navarro Bowman.
Yes, he did.
Dante Hittner was sleeveless and got run over, by the way, by Lacy.
What about the offensive linemen? I mean, they...
I don't remember all the offensive line. That's just the one that stood out.
The left tackle that they kept talking about is the fill-in when Bulaga went down. I don't think he was wearing sleeves.
No, he did not.
You can't wear sleeves.
I forget his last name.
If you're an offensive lineman, you can't wear sleeves.
I'd had sleeves on.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have.
I would have had sleeves on.
As long as Tom didn't come by and say you should
wear
them.
That changed me forever. When
I might have had two sets of long sleeves on in that game.
When they exhaled. The cloud of
it was great.
Smoke out of their mouth.
That was fun to watch. I was watching it from the airport.
It was great TV.
Seeing the pictures was great.
You see the weather by the week this weekend in Denver? And where you're going into New England to do
50 degrees and rain.
It's not going to be cold at all.
What's Denver?
It's about the same. Not rain, but I think high 40s, low 50s. So let's go back to the addition of wild card teams.
No, mistake.
You think so?
You cheapen the playoffs. You know, you place less importance on winning the division. To me, that would be a big mistake. Now, look, it's about money. And if it means more money for the game, then, I mean, how could you argue against it? But at the same time, the reason the ratings are so good.
Because the games are so good.
Because the games are so good and the quality of play is so good. I mean, name me one college bowl game with the exception of Monday night that would even touch any of the games we had
this
past
weekend.
Well, by the way,
the national title game did a 15, wild card weekend did a 19. So the national.
Not even close.
The biggest bowl game didn't even touch.
Nope.
The NFL's first round of playoffs. Why change it? I don't think it's broken. I don't think you need to add another team. I think the danger is cheaping it. It would have been an 8-8 team in for the AFC.
Would have been Pittsburgh, and they were playing pretty well.
And Pittsburgh,
Arizona, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, Arizona, and those are two teams. Now, again, it's not always that way every year, but this year, and of course this is when they're bringing it up, you had a Pittsburgh team that Roethlisberger, you know, where they start, 0-4, you know, 2-6, right?
Great coaching job by Mike Tomlin.
And they finished 6-2 with an offensive line that was just, I mean, it was spit and glue and duct tape. And then the other side out in Arizona, you know, boy, that football team played well. One in Seattle, I mean.
Toughest division in football
by
far.
I got to think that those teams involved this weekend would have just made for great games.
Now, the interesting thing is.
You know, you would have had New England playing Pittsburgh, probably something like that.
But
Jeff brings up, does it cheapen the cheapen
Carolina the, playing Arizona?
Does it cheapen it? But on the other hand, maybe it even makes it the regular season and that number one seed even more coveted because it's the only one that gets to buy.
Could be good.
It could be good. And if it's about money and it's good, which...
The other thing I heard that the commissioner said that I didn't... And I only heard bits
and
pieces.
What would
playing
the number
on
be?
Friday, they wanted to play on Friday night games and Monday games in the playoffs.
Well, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the playoffs.
That's a problem.
Now, let me ask you this. It's the playoff field. They're talking about expanding to what number?
Be 7.
Okay. 7 per conference.
That's 14 teams.
Right. Okay, 14 teams out of 32. So we're talking of almost approaching half.
Yeah, but Jeff, when it was 28, when it was 30 teams, it was almost half because there was 14. There was 12 teams that went in. It's the same thing.
When it was 28, it was
still,
12.
It's just.
No, but you know what I'm saying? But it was.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. It wouldn't take away from the game that much, but I still believe that it makes it special.
I don't like playing Friday night games. Now you're talking about competitive disadvantage for those teams playing on Sunday.
And, you know, the other thing about this is you remember when that 7-9 Seahawks team beat that defending, champion New Orleans team, Marshawn Lynch, a couple years ago. You remember? Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a great game. It's one of the great games in recent playoff history. So,
and what would it do to the meaning of games at the end of the regular season?
You'd have everybody playing unless the number one spot was locked up really early. I mean, remember in the NFC, the number one spot wasn't locked up.
But you already did
weekend.
This year. You had everyone playing. Well, I mean, I don't think that changes it. It's year to year.
Then it's all about the money because you're just getting one more game for ratings. And boy, was it good this weekend! I don't know. It'd be fun.
Here's
what I'm reading is that they're talking about.
You can sell me either way.
That you'd have 3 games Saturday, 3 games Sundays.
Yeah, you don't do the Friday game. That's ridiculous.
No, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Because there was some talk they'd do a Friday, maybe even a Monday game.
4:30, 8 o'clock.
Oh, it'd be great. Listen, I would.
You'd eat it up.
I would eat it up. I mean, I love it.
Well, I mean, Gary Myers wrote in the New York Daily News, and he's one of the very successful and long-term
great
NFL
guy.
Writers.
Yeah, great
he's,
guy.
He's terrific. And he says they could spread it out also. There's a couple of different ways to play it. But, you know, boy, it sure seems like everything they do out of that league office these days when it comes to games and scheduling, it just seems to work. The draft moving to Thursday, that's worked. Moving it back 2 weeks will probably work. Heck, if they want to move it
what
up
was
two weeks,
what was the purpose for moving it back 2 weeks in May?
There's some event going on in New York that weekend, and I forget what it
no,
was.
No, it didn't have to do with any event in New York.
I thought there was an event.
No, there was something. There was another reason why they did
we'll,
it.
We'll look it up over the break.
It was something to do with television. I mean, it's all being. It's about money.
Oh yeah,
and it was something.
Is it everything?
And it was had something to do with trying to get into a different window for television ratings. And I don't remember the exact nature of it.
It'll be interesting here, though. That's the Players' Championship weekend. And I know that's not great for the local.
Yeah, but you know, the PGA Tour and the Jags work so well together in so many different ways. No, but they'll find a way.
It's not like the Jaguars decided to
win. I'm saying it has nothing to do with the Jags. I'm saying if
it is an event. Easter's late, and Radio City is hosting an Easter show next year, so they can't have Radio City a music hall, and so that's why they moved it back.
Okay. Are they going to move it back the following year?
Don't know.
Depends how it goes.
The NFL has yet to decide on dates for 2015 and beyond. Remember, they also talked about moving the draft to Chicago, Dallas, Los Angeles.
A traveling roadshow?
Yeah, playing in a couple of different places and seeing how that one goes, too. Again, you're going to add playoff teams. You're going to move the draft back. You're going to move it to different cities. That's what they're doing, and sure, they're not batting 1,000, but they're darn close to it.
When does free agency start?
Well, it starts – I'll have to look up the date, but generally it's the first week of March.
First week of the calendar year.
Yeah, which is March, where they change it. So we'll get that date for you, folks. We need a break for news here at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Jaguars Thursday with Tony Buscelli and Jeff Loggeman from the HananiaAutos.com studio on News Talk WOKV. Now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, you can go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jaguars. Ford, go further. So we've got 20 minutes and
before
another
we
break
go, yeah, I want you to take me camping.
Oh,
how about
whoa.
I just
hello.
All right, listen, I'm fine with that. I don't care what anyone thinks. After what I just heard about, I want to go camping with Brian.
Black Forest Cobbler on the Dutch
Forest,
oven.
Yeah,
oven.
I mean,
Loggy knows all about the Dutch oven.
I don't even know what a Dutch oven is, but that Black Forest Cobbler sounded really
good. I got a buddy, and he might be listening right now, Gordon, and he cooks in a Dutch oven, and he will set the world on fire.
Well,
what else can you cook besides blackberry pie?
They have Dutch oven competitions around the world.
How do I become a judge?
I took a dozen eggs the next morning, a package of sausage, a couple of potatoes, and threw it in the Dutch oven, stirred it up, and it became a casserole.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, just whatever you want it to be. It's great stuff.
Well, why have I not been invited to these?
Well, you were working last
eating
weekend.
Eating trips.
I'll bring a Black Forest cobbler in.
All right, we talked about some of the dates. Here are the dates for the NFL calendar year, which begins March 11th for the new year.
Right.
And that's the start of free agency. The NFL draft is May 8th to the 10th. And then the NFL Spring League meeting, May 19th to the 21st. So those are the important dates. March 11th, folks, free agency begins.
When's the last time a team that won in the silly season of free agency won during the real season?
Well, I think you could say that the Broncos with Peyton Manning.
Okay.
I mean, they won. That was a competition with Arizona
and
Tennessee.
And Wes Welker.
Yeah. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, but this year they didn't win the silly season. I mean, that was a secondary. I mean, it was Miami who spent all the money in the free agency this year with Mike Wallace and LRB and the other linebacker. I mean, they spent more money.
Chiefs spent some money. I mean,
Chiefs
quarterback, spent, you know, defensive
no, they,
back.
No, they traded for the quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're right with Steve Smith. They did spend some money. Yeah.
It's a great question because you look at some of these teams that go and spend big
Bengals
dollars.
Didn't. Green Bay doesn't
well, look,
do that.
Okay,
Steelers
look,
never
look,
do
look
that.
At the teams left in the playoffs.
Well, the Titans. The Titans spent almost $100
okay,
million. Dollars
at, let's look at the teams in the playoffs right now.
Okay.
So go through
New Orleans.
Did not.
No. Seattle.
No.
Indianapolis.
No.
Spent a little bit, but not a lot. Over the last 2 years,
Gosser,
they spent some money.
Yeah.
Offensive
you know,
line.
Gosser,
you know what? They did spend some money on offensive line. You're right about that.
New England.
No, never do.
New. Carolina Panthers.
Nope.
49ers.
No.
I'm trying to think. Well, I mean, they
Anquan Boldin, but they traded for him.
Traded for him.
And they spent a lot of money on him.
San Diego.
No, Dante Whitner was a free agent.
A couple years ago.
A few
years ago. Oh, yeah.
San Diego.
They got Derek Cox. That's really working out well for him. He doesn't even play. Does not play.
You know, I think San Diego went in, you know, thinking this year was going to be a, you know,
they would
what
like
do we
to,
do?
They'd like to give that money back.
Yeah.
Did he start that playoff game?
No, he did not play.
Didn't play at all. Was he active?
He was on the sideline.
dressed.
I believe so.
He got $10 million guaranteed, by the way.
Yeah, he was on the sideline. Dressed. He did not play.
So none of these teams.
He does not play.
Well, I know he was kind of having a tough time of it early on. Played against this team.
And had a good day here.
And then got benched again after that. You know, you don't follow the team anymore.
No.
Because the Jaguars already played him.
You're right. None of these teams really. I mean, a player here or a player there. I mean, Seattle went out and signed the pass rusher.
All right, now look at the big spenders.
From Philadelphia.
Look at the big spenders. The biggest one of all, Tennessee Titans, right?
Yeah.
Miami's right up there, too.
Miami
Buffalo
spent a ton
last
of money.
Year. Buffalo spent all that money on Mario Williams. Mm-hmm. That hasn't really worked out for him very well.
My point is, it's typically.
Oakland, they haven't been able to, but in the past they have, and it's killed them, and that's why they've had to decimate their team basically for the last couple of years.
Because they had so much
Cardinals
dead money.
Spent some money.
Well,
the Cardinals did this year. They got
they traded for Carson Palmer.
They traded for him, yeah.
Yeah, but they spent some money.
Well, they signed Rashad Mendenhall.
They brought back Dansby, but he was
a 10,
let 12, go
yeah.
by. But he was let go by
John
Miami.
Abraham.
And remember, yeah,
but
they
he
did.
Was a secondary guy, Jeff. He was
no,
not.
I know.
Remember, they traded away their left tackle. They traded him to Pittsburgh.
He was awful.
And he tore his.
No, because he was awful.
And he tore his tricep, so he was
awful.
Gone. No, I don't doubt that.
My whole point is. As much fun as we'll have in free agency, we'll talk about it, and fans will get excited, and it's great, and the NFL loves it because the NFL has become relevant 12 months a year now, more than any other sport in America. It just doesn't mean a lot.
Not the big dollar free
no,
agent. No. You go get Cindric Marks.
It's a fill in your roster.
It helps.
I'm not saying it's not important time, but just because.
It's not a cure all, but it helps.
And just because you're not spending money on the first week or two and spending those going after the. Mike Wallace's, who, by the way, another win I had over Prisco, said at the beginning, Mike Wallace is a terrible signing. He's not a number one guy. He can do two things. He can run really fast, far, and catch the bubble screen. That's it.
He didn't do that much this year.
Nothing.
I mean, he came on late, but early on.
Hartline's a better point receiver than he is. Go look at the numbers. Had more catches.
Well, there's no arguing with you about that.
I know, but my whole point is this. I'm excited about free agency. I'm more excited about the draft.
Okay.
The draft is where you win.
The lifeblood.
The teams who win the draft win in this league.
Now, having said that, if you could add, let's say, Alex Mack, a center, or pay a pass rusher in free agency, because
you're
those
not
going
to get a pass rusher in free
you
agency.
Might get Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy might be free.
And
Greg
Michael
Hardy
Johnson
and Michael Johnson
Cindy,
are the two.
They're going to hit the market just because of their team's cap issues.
If you can get
would
Greg Hardy, yes. Greg Hardy's like 26 years old and he's a stud.
Would you do that over a center?
Yes. Because okay. Greg Hardy answers the question.
If the center cost you $8 million and the pass rusher cost you $14
million. If it's Greg Hardy, I go pay $14 for Greg Hardy.
Wow.
Hardy is good.
I know he's good.
And
I've
he's
seen
young.
Him, but...
He's like 26 years old. I mean, he's young. He has his best football in front of him.
All right.
He's got character concerns, though. Doesn't he? Didn't he? I mean, that one of the reasons why when he came
he's
out.
He's a different guy.
Yeah, he's a little different. Yeah. I thought when he was coming out,
about
that, there was some questions.
No, he was hurt when he's coming out. I think that's what happened.
I think he had some other
we'll
things
do some
too.
Research, and we'll come back with that. But I'm not sure. But he's a stud.
Yeah, he's a good
now,
player.
Michael Johnson, I wouldn't spend a lot of money, too, because he's not a pass rusher. He's a very good defensive end.
Right.
And he's very good, I mean, overall player, but he's not a – he had 3.5 sacks this year.
Well, I mean, they chose Carlos Dunlap sure. instead of him.
He's
so.
A 3.5 sack guy.
All right, we need a break. We'll come back and talk about the games this weekend, get Jeff and Tony's perspective on those in a final segment of Jaguars Thursday. From the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, rolling right along here. About 9 minutes left in our program this evening. Ryan Sexton, Jeff Loggam, and Tony Buscelli. You could join us, 355-NFL1. What's the story on Hardy?
Calling our crack partner,
Pete
Briscoe, who is a guru.
But I noticed when I said get him on the air, you don't want.
Well, I've embarrassed him so much this year, Brian. I mean, I really put it to him.
As far as I could tell, he kind of owned you.
Jeff, if you go back to the tape, it is clear. And I finish it off with a slam dunk over him, telling him that the 49ers would beat the Packers.
I think you said they'd crush him.
He thought Green Bay would win?
Yeah, he picked Green Bay.
Really?
Yeah, he's not very
smart.
That's
weak.
But anyway, he said there were some issues between him and the coaches at Ole Miss. That's where he went, Ole Miss, right?
Ole Miss.
Yeah, Ole Miss. He was very young when he went to college. He's only 25 years old right now. He's been in the league 4 years. So maybe some maturity. Pete didn't know exactly what it was, but some maturity things. And he also had surgery on a broken bone in college, so there was injuries as well.
Right.
So he said, you know, he's a fabulous player. Obviously has had no issues at Carolina.
Watch him this weekend, folks. If you've never paid attention to him on the Panthers, watch him. Yeah, he's really, really good.
So he's a good player.
We've got four games to cover.
But the question
here is,
I mean, so
they got two good defensive ends there.
Yeah, Charles Johnson. Yeah. And that's why I think, because they paid Charles Johnson a year ago to keep him. And I don't think you can pay both of them, because a year from now you got to pay Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of money.
And you still need
and you paid a lot of money for the running back.
You have a lot of money,
which was a mistake.
You can get rid of one of them, though. But you got to find a receiver, because you have no receivers you got to pay money to. I mean, my point is, you can't. I don't think in today's league, with the cap number where it is, it's not growing at the rate. You can't afford two premier pass rushers at that big number, because they get paid almost like quarterbacks.
You got to go find another one.
Yeah.
The only way you can afford them is that if one is in his second contract or his third, and one's in his first.
Right. And that's what they have right now. One's Charles Johnson is second, and Greg Hardy's in his first. That's why you have two great ones. But Greg Hardy's going to be a free agent. Right. And I think he's out in the market, meaning that's one guy. And I know it goes against pretty much what we've always said. You don't want to spend the big money and getting that first week's.
Where would he fit in this defense, though?
Oh, he'd be the Leo. I mean, the guy is fabulous. He's a right end right now. He's a fabulous pass rusher. He plays in space. He's big. I mean, he's physical. He's a really good player. I mean, he's a really good player.
All right, four games this weekend, starting Saturday afternoon in Seattle. The New Orleans Saints make their second trip out there in the last 5 or 6 weeks for a 4:35 Eastern kickoff. Gentlemen?
Seattle. They're a great football team. They're at home. They've lost, what, once in the last how many games?
2 years.
Yeah.
I don't see them doing that again. I just don't.
I'll say this. They blew out New Orleans about 4 weeks ago on a Monday night. That was supposed to be
Everyone was excited about that.
I do think it's close.
Because of the way the Saints defense played in Philly?
And because they got Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees is a guy who's going to come back. He's proud. They're going to play well. I do think Seattle's going to win the game, but I don't think it's a blowout like
before. Seattle hammers them.
I think it's a one-score game.
Why do you think they hammer them? Because they've had the week off, and Saints have already played a cold-weather game in Philly, and now they got to travel all the way across the country.
It's going to rain.
I mean, that's the one team that has the potential for some. It's crazy. When that team gets going at home,
Watch out.
I mean, they just –
gosh, is it loud.
It's like a steamroller, and they just –
You know what it is? It's an avalanche. It just keeps on getting power.
And they've got the ability to do it in so many different ways. They've got the ability to do it on defense. They've got the ability to do it with their running game with Marshawn Lynch, and the ability for Russell Wilson to do it. You know, I think they hammer them.
All right.
I think they win.
Perfect example. If Drew Brees started out like he did in Philadelphia against Seattle,
it's good night.
Forget it.
Right. Two interceptions in the first half. Saturday night, 8:15, Indianapolis at New England.
That's the game I'm doing. So I leave for Providence, Rhode Island tomorrow, and it's going to be wet, 100% chance of rain, which means I don't have, like you said, there's a really a chance of it's 100%. Right. Low 50s, high 40s, so it's not going to be cold. I don't think either team – Jeff said it best when we were off the air before we started the show. Two average teams with great quarterbacks. And do you want to bet against Andrew Luck right now? I don't, but I just.
But how do you bet against Tom Brady?
I think it's a great game, and I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to be there. Because I think Chuck Pagano, everyone talks about Andrew Luck, which they should. He's a great player. I think Chuck Pagano's a fabulous head coach.
Yeah, he is.
I think he's a fabulous head coach.
He's done a great – I mean, for what he was able to do, and it helps to be a fabulous coach when you've got fabulous young quarterback.
The two tie together.
So you're taking
– I'm going to take New England still.
I'm going to take New England too. Now, here's another question for you, for both of you guys. If both teams lost their quarterback right now, who would win?
Both of them would be sitting at home right now and not playing in the playoffs.
Wow, that's a great question. I would say New England.
I'd take Indianapolis all day long.
You would?
Absolutely.
I was going to say New England because they can run with Shane Vereen.
I don't think they can run all that good.
All right.
And their defense.
I'd probably go with you, Brian, for the same reason, running game, because at least they have – I mean, because Indy can't run the ball.
I'd take Indy.
I mean, I would. It wouldn't be a very good game, I'll say that.
It would not be a good game.
Sunday, 105, San Francisco in Carolina.
That is a great game. Gosh,
I'm taking the 49ers.
I am looking forward to it. I won't get home until the second half because I'm flying back from Providence, so I'll see the second half.
Somebody called it a payback game.
I'll say this. Carolina went up into San Francisco and beat them at their own game. The speed of that Carolina defense, I think they'll do a better job of containing Kaepernick. They're seated higher, but I still think it's an upset because I don't know what the point spread is, but I think most people are picking the 49ers, but I'm going to say the Carolina Panthers win that game.
That's a tough one.
It's a great game.
I think that's going to be the game of the week. But I'm going to stick with the 49ers. They've been there, done that.
You talked about them all season.
It worries me that Steve Smith is hurt and questionable for the game.
I'll take Kaepernick. You know, I think him and Jim Harbaugh, physical team.
Will you at least admit to me now? I mean, I've said
you've been tooting their horn. I give you credit.
And Cam Newton. And Cam Newton is playing good football.
He is.
Final game.
But you're wrong on Andy Dalton. Go ahead, Brian.
Sunday at 4:40.
I can't argue that right now.
San Diego in Denver.
I'm taking San Diego. Listen, they played them twice this year. They're not going to be intimidated going to Mile High. They're not intimidated by Peyton Manning. They beat them last time they played there. They played very close the first time. This is a nightmare matchup for Denver.
It's the playoffs,
San Diego.
It's the playoffs. It's not the regular season anymore.
That's going to be even a bigger advantage for San Diego.
That's why I say that.
Because they lead the league in time of possession at almost 33 minutes. So they're going to keep Peyton on the sideline. And I believe – it's unfair to say, I mean, Peyton Manning is one of the greatest players ever played the game. I think Denver is going to be tight. They were in this position last year. They were the best team fair to go to the Super Bowl, and they got beat at home by Baltimore. I think they're tight. They have to win this game. Peyton has to win this game. It's about legacy. It's about so much. And you got the San Diego Chargers coming in like a bunch of
gunslingers. Like the 96 Jaguars.
They don't care. They have nothing. They're not worried about anything. There's no pressure. I talked to their staff last week and their players, and they said we were playing house money last week, and they played loose and free and fast, and Phillip Rivers is a heck of a quarterback. I think they go into Denver and they beat Denver.
Can you imagine that? Home field advantage back-to-back years.
I think it's possible, but I think the Broncos win this game. Wes Welker will be the difference maker.
Do you think that Del Rio's defense has anything left without Von Miller?
No. No, but I think Peyton Manning is going to put so many points up.
Because they had Vaughn, for that last
pot
game.
Pot roast.
I just think Peyton Manning is going to put so many points
up. And they got Mintz, man. They got Mintz is going to be going to work.
Mr. Mintz. So let me make sure I get this correct because I want to be able to come back and brag next week. We both got the Seahawks.
We both got the Seahawks and we both got the Patriots.
Okay. Sunday, you went with the Niners.
With the 49ers and Panthers.
So we agree on Saturday, we disagree on Sunday.
Okay. All right, and you've got Panthers and Chargers. I've got 49ers and Broncos.
Yeah. I very well.
What about you? What are your picks?
I'm going to go with the Chargers for the same reason that you said. I just don't like the defense of the Broncos, and I think that they'll run it. I'm going to go with the Panthers, so I guess I'm with you on Sunday, and I'm with both of you guys on Saturday because I don't see the Patriots losing at home.
So you've got Seahawks, Patriots, Panthers?
Panthers, Chargers.
Panthers, Chargers.
So
you're with Pacelli.
Yeah. It's two
what the hell's
one.
Going on here, Sex?
I'm with you on Saturday. I'm with him on Sunday. Have a great weekend, everybody.